Short disclaimer. This podcast is in no way affiliated with the Stars production or Diana Gabaldon. All views expressed are solely our own. Welcome to the Outlander podcast,
where the men are kilted, the women are winsome,
and the whiskey is neat. Welcome to episode 96 of the Outlander podcast. I'm Ginger.
And I'm Summer, and we are in love with all things Outlander. And now on to our discussion of episode 115, entitled Wentworth Prison. I don't know, I can't introduce it without sounding chipper because I'm excited that it's Outlander, but it's really a horrific episode.
It really is. I don't think it's as horrific
as it could have been,
for as sure. As it's going to get. Yeah.
Exactly. If you're listening, hopefully that means you've already watched it, so we're not giving any spoilers for episode 115. However, I will say, having read the books, and I think you guys, this is what Lene just alluded to. Oh, by the way, we have our friend Lene back with us. Hi, Lene.
Hi again. We just wanted to get right in so bad. We didn't even bother.
So, the three of us have read and seen the episode, and we hope and expect that you have seen the episode at least once by the time you're listening to this. And that's important. Before I say what I'm going to say, is that we all, book readers and non-book readers, went into this with certain expectations because of what we'd heard, what's been alluded to. And don't get me wrong, there was all kinds of awfulness here. But book readers know that by the end of 115, it's like, what?
Yeah.
So 116.
Let's just get started because I have something to say about that.
Okay. About that. Okay, let's go. So in the opening, we're in, as the credits roll, or as they start, the opening card, we're in some kind of cell or something. I guess, you know, it's hinting at what's going to happen.
Creepiest opening so far.
Very creepy. And I'm thinking torture chamber, and there's all those sharp instruments, and then we see like an iron mask.
Yeah, there's an iron mask.
Very, very ominous.
One of those, it looks like a surcingle kind of thing that they put on people's legs or something with the spikes on it.
Oh, on the inside. Like an Iron Maiden for your leg.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
So, we start, the episode proper opens, I don't know what to call it, in the quad, in the yard, out where they're hanging.
Hanging yard, I don't know.
Yeah, but it's a yard.
It's the courtyard, maybe. The yard of the Wentworth. Yeah.
And this is where Jamie and the others are supposed to be hung, and where many of them are. And we've all seen, you know, different movies and depictions of hanging, and they usually don't say too much on the face unless they're already dead and they're hanging from a tree or something. Mm-hmm. But this actually showed the process of hanging. And yes, they broke away, and yes, you could tell. I mean, some of them, they looked very, very good as far as realistic. Not that I've ever seen a hanging, thank goodness. But there was that one guy with, like, the shaved head.
Mm-hmm.
He looked, I mean, you could tell it was kind of fake. Yeah. He looked too much like a doll when he went down. That's all.
But legit, though, there's not that much to hanging.
That's true.
I mean, you put a rope around their neck and you push them off of something tall, and then they're either their neck snaps and they die right away.
Or they don't.
Or it doesn't snap, and then they suffocate and struggle.
And it's awful either way.
So having not seen one, Summer's right, there's not a ton going on in the hanging. I mean, if you're going to be hung, you hope it's not.
I was confused at first when the scene opened up because I thought, okay, because there wasn't any scene like this in the book, so I thought, wait, why is he, like, getting ready to be hung with, what's his name?
Taran. Sorry,
I have to say, I really did like that character.
Douglas Henshaw, I loved him.
You never got to know any of the Watch at all in the books. And I liked how they used it this time around. And in the whole episode that he is in with the Watch, I wasn't sure I was going to like him. And by the end, I was like, oh, this is a good character. This is a really good character. And then when it made me care enough about him to see him, like, standing there going, I mean, I kind of knew, having read the books and everything, you kind of know what's coming up. You know Jamie's not going to be hung. It just made me, a bit sad here because I had cared enough about the character at this point.
Mm-hmm.
They had done such a good job of making you like him that when I see him in the courtyard there, and I see Jamie next to him, I knew what was coming, because I've read the books. I knew that Jamie wasn't going to be hung at this point. But I knew there wasn't much hope for him, the other guy.
Well, they did not need to have hope for him because he wasn't real.
No, I know, but still, I liked the character and it made me a little sad.
So is this where the term, like, gallows humor comes from?
I guess.
With them trying to, like, cheer each other up as they're...
Yeah. No, and him saying, and Jamie saying, well, when your turn comes up, I'll grab the guard or I'll kick the guard and you da-da-da-da-da. And he's like, dude, they'll just shoot us both, so what's the point? Like, yeah. I'm going to go out like a man and face my punishment kind of thing is what he ended up saying. And to see him being hung and struggling and then them grabbing his feet that and pulling on him awful. to make it go faster, that kind of hit me a little bit. Like,
it did.
Gosh, that's a little gruesome.
I wasn't overly emotional, but like you said, I had grown to like Taryn McCrady so much from the last episode. And then seeing him here, you're like, oh my God. You knew when they said that he was injured and Jamie stayed with him that he was taken. When we saw him at the end of the last, that was from the watch at the on the search. At the end of the last episode.
You knew it wasn't going to end well for him.
Oh no, of course not. But when you saw him sitting in that in the back of that cart, you're like, oh, okay, he's on his way. Jamie escaped. And then they end up together here. And we know what happens to Jamie, but since Taryn is he's a new character for this purpose, he's expendable. Mm-hmm. And so seeing him, but having gotten to know him and actually caring for this character, and then seeing him hung was not that fun either.
Yeah.
But when he wouldn't die, and then when they forced it, that hit me too. It was a bit much.
Yeah, that was a little much. But anyway,
I bet as an actor, he was like super excited. He was like, "I get to be the one that twitches."
Yes,
I get to be the one that twitches.
Dude, a twitch. Yeah. He did not twitch.
He was like
He was like body
flailing
convulsed.
Around because he wasn't dying.
His neck didn't snap.
No, it was bad.
That's the thing. If you're going to be hung, you don't want to be Ted McQuaid.
No,
you want to be the fast one.
Yeah, you want to be the one who's neck snaps.
Yeah, you don't want to suffocate.
From an actor's point of view,
Be Ted McQuaid.
I know, I get it, Summer, I get it. No, and then you hear horse hooves, and I know who's
exactly.
coming.
Exactly.
Okay, but did he not look a little bit dashing riding up on that horse?
Okay, hold on. Tobias always looks dashing.
I know, period.
And that's my conflict.
In.
That's my conflict with this whole...
hold on. Ain't no conflict here, baby.
No, but he rode
I will take
in
BJR.
Like a romantic hero on horseback
to save Jamie.
Save
him only
on.
For
thank you
one
for saying that. I wasn't thinking of the saving thing, although that feeds into this. But I'm so glad you said. Remember that point that you just said, romantic hero. This comes back, quite frankly, in the next like 8 books. But this comes back later this episode. This thing about romance and. Mm-hmm. And this hero and this portrayal. So I want to come back to that. That's a very good thing you said.
Yeah, but I will agree. Tobias looked pretty freaking good on that
Holy
horse. But I am always partial to a man on a horse, so I don't know what
Oh, that's
tell
true.
You.
Remember, Lene is our horsewoman.
Yeah, I'm always partial to
did you
good-looking man
hold
on a
on.
Horse.
Did you wink at Tobias?
No. You didn't have to go there.
I did. You're talking about horses and how good he looks.
You know.
No, I'm not in season at the moment. Thank you very much. I'm just kidding. Who am I kidding? I'm always in season.
For Tobias, you're always in season. Okay.
Oh
okay,
gosh.
Anyway.
No,
so then...
Oh, and then the slow-mo as Jamie is being taken out of the courtyard and the two of them look at each other in slow-mo.
Did anyone else think
Jamie
was thinking
about screenshot.
Jumping?
No, I seriously
thought
Jamie was going to like... Take me, hang me, hang me now, hang me now, please.
He came up and he was looking at us and he saw him right up.
Holy.
And then that whole interchange was happening. I thought for sure Jamie was like, F this, I'm jumping. I will choose my hanging right now. I
seriously.
Thought he was considering
And I thought, oh my gosh, he's going to be wishing that he had been hung in a little bit. But anyway.
So then we are taken to the dungeon where Jamie has been taken and he's given some food and kind of, not put up for the night, but made, I mean, maybe
somewhat comfortable. He's fed. I'll give
him
that.
Fed.
He was
he's
fed
and
given,
attacks the
given
bread.
A drink.
That's true.
He
wasn't dead.
He wasn't dead.
I'm not dead yet.
And that's all.
I'm only
partly dead. So then, but that's all we see then. And then we're into the warden's office, Sir Fletcher Gordon.
With Claire.
And Claire's come to see what she can do to save Jamie. Her trip number one.
Mm-hmm.
I was about to say that Katrina does such a wonderful job here of acting. Katrina Balfe is an actress playing Claire.
Mm-hmm.
But Katrina, in this episode, in this scene, Katrina Balfe is an actress playing Claire, who's playing someone else.
Who's acting to try to pretend to cover that she's her feelings. Not
absolutely
emotionally so, involved in this.
Exactly. So I thought that was, I just loved her acting here. And you
could see the struggle. You could see the struggle in her whole body.
And you could see when she allowed, as an actress, she allowed herself to break.
Yeah.
When he left the room to go get those personal effects. And she almost, you know, she was like, ugh.
Well, and you could see from the look on her face when he gives her the box.
Oh, gosh.
When he, you know, he offered, you know, here she asks, you know, can he write a letter to his mother, you know, reconciliation, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, no, but let me go get the, there is something. And he brings the box out of all his personal effects and she looks at it. And just the look on her face, you can tell how hard she's holding back. You know, you can see it on her face, and she also at that moment she realizes, okay, because I don't think at any point he had said that he was still alive, did he?
No, he did. He said he'd been granted a temporary.
Yes, temporary.
Oh yeah, that's right. And the look on her face there. I mean, she had some really good moments throughout this whole episode.
Absolutely, and I want to come back to that. You mentioned the day of execution. When they were still in the courtyard and they were, you know, Taryn was about to be hung. No, Taryn was just hung, but not yet dead.
And they're filling out all the paperwork.
Yes, I took a screenshot of that where it said, James Fraser of Lallybroch. Just having that crap. That kind of, I started to get a little bit teary.
But okay, I would like to say one thing about the box of personal effects.
Well, go for it.
Ever since the movie Seven, I get really nervous about people being handed boxes. Because
No, don't open the box. Don't open the box.
I haven't seen Seven either.
In my hand, my brain, I just hear Brad Pitt going, "What's in the box?
What's in the box?
What's in the box?"
No, and it has his personal effects in it. And then I just love the look on her face of her, like, she takes kind of like a slow, deep, controlled breath to try to like keep it in, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then he leaves. And then he leaves the room, and then she, like, lets it go for just a few seconds before he comes back in, and it's like...
And this is... absolutely. And so that's why I first thought... I guess the first viewing... Every viewing, but the first viewing of the episode, I thought, oh, my goodness, this is going to be... I mean, she shines in every episode, but these kinds of very emotional scenes obviously give her more of a chance to shine. But then as I watched it again, and at first I thought, okay, this is going to be Katrina's episode to shine. And then I thought, actually, Sam was ridiculous in this episode. And then I thought,
Tobias,
holy crap,
was really
Tobias,
good too.
I can't choose one. And if I had to choose one, I probably would have to.
I couldn't choose the three of them all.
I couldn't. You're right.
No,
I couldn't.
I really thought this was Marley's episode.
Hey.
Oh, poor Marley. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. No, so, and so she leaves, right? He says yes.
Yes. He brings the box, and then
he says, oh, that's so Christian of you. Such a Christian woman. Yes. Thank you. Because she plays on, she sees the Bible, doesn't she, in his room?
And she goes, so it's Christian duty.
Yeah. She plays on his devoutness.
And in the box, did you already say, of course, Sonny. we see Sonny. Yeah.
Yeah, we see the snake.
But I also saw the fishing wire.
Oh, you did? Oh, my God.
And his stag brooch.
Yes, I did see the brooch.
Oh, my God. Calm down.
Okay, I missed it.
Yeah.
And a brooch.
I missed it.
The brooch he wore at the wedding.
Yeah.
We need to take that apart, because the fishing hooks with the little thing.
We need to do a screenshot and then
brighten it. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Okay, we're going to... So book readers will appreciate that, because in the book, at least once, he basically empties it out and shows her everything and why it's important to him. Yeah. And everything has meaning in his spot. And did you see a rabbit's foot?
There may have been.
It was not a rabbit's foot. It was a mole's foot.
Against rheumatism.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I want to see if they have... Man, so many tickles. Okay.
Okay.
The music,
Go ahead. Was there music? I didn't even know.
Well, the music. My comment. I heard something, and I thought, okay, no. Very blanket comment, as always. Music in this episode was lovely, as always. Bear just hasn't hit a miss. I mean, he's hit a miss. He hasn't missed. Are you thinking of that episode? Yeah. Right upstairs. Yeah. And there's something like that in this episode too. Okay, so as she exits the prison.
She barely gets out.
That was effective.
It became very clear to me that she's been living on whiskey, because
there's nothing in her.
It looked like bile.
It did. It was greenish.
It looked like
yellowish.
Bile.
And then
poor Murtaugh picks her up.
Oh my God,
a little awkward.
Isn't he?
Because he's a small,
shorter
he's small
than her,
and
isn't he?
Even in the books, he's
small and wiry.
And it's simian.
Katrina looks like a foot tall. Not maybe not that much taller than him, but she looks.
She's willowy, but she's tall.
And in those costumes,
yeah,
It's probably like how many pounds of costumes that she's wearing.
10 or 15 maybe.
At least. And I'm just like, and he, good man, he picks her up and he does his duty. I was like, bravo, Murtaugh.
As in the music, I'm not sure if it's when he's picking her up, but it's definitely as she vomits and like loses her, literally loses herself, part of herself. The music that comes on has dissonance.
Yeah.
Perfect. Perfect. So, as he said in our interview with Bear McCreary, dissonance is a composer's strongest tool, and you don't want to overuse it. And this was a perfect use of it. It's not because it's this thing that is literally unresolved, will not resolve. I wrote down dark, hopeless, and no resolution.
Yeah.
I mean, the sun was out.
I think it was cloudy. Stop
it
that.
It was overcast. Summer, you're dreaming.
It's Scotland. What are you talking about? I'm just kidding. We love Scotland. Okay, at the inn.
At the end,
Highlanders are gambling, and it seems very unappreciative of them.
Well, it seems very light. Unsympathetic.
Yes.
It seems very insensitive.
Until we find out what they were doing.
Yeah, and then you find out, they sit down, and you know, here's Murtaugh and Claire and Willie, and they're all glaring at him like, you couldn't have been putting yourself to better use than gambling. And then they explain, well, we were gambling with two of the, who were they? Were they prison guards?
Prison guards, yeah.
Two prison guards. And we found out information about Sir Fletcher.
Yeah, and then he likes to take like an hour.
Well,
to,
it was a certain amount of time for lunch and then 25 minutes of reflection and reading the Bible.
Yes.
So a full hour that he is to be completely undisturbed.
Mm-hmm.
And then they realize, oh my gosh, okay, that's our chance to get in when he's not there and search his office.
I totally envision him, like, taking his 25 minutes on the can.
Part of that might have been there.
You know, because everyone reads on the toilet.
Most men.
Where else is he going to find privacy?
Most men I do. Even my son. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my goodness.
He's 8 years old. And I walked in the bathroom the other day. I didn't realize he was in there. And he's going to the bathroom. He's sitting there. And he's like, he takes so long to go to the bathroom. He's like his dad. And he's sitting there. He's got his Lego magazine. He's reading.
That's
he gets
adorable.
Like a monthly Lego.
Is that like
magazine.
Is that like little kids Victoria's Secret?
No,
it's summer.
No, he's only 8. He hasn't hit puberty yet. Thank God.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's Legos.
It's
like,
no,
oh,
it's like
Legos.
No, like my husband will sit and read car magazines as he's sitting there on the toilet.
But I know your husband, and that is his Victoria's Secret magazine.
He does like cars a lot. Anyway,
so we get to the cell.
What I wrote down, literally wrote down in my notes when the scene opens, God, Tobias is a handsome, evil shit.
Yeah. And Marley is not.
No.
And we meet Marley.
Not handsome
although
at all.
Marley from the book was a lot worse than the Marley
Marley
here.
From the book was a lot worse, and I was kind of, I was slightly disappointed that he wasn't more of
as
like
gross.
Like a fat-lipped, drooling,
or
like
something.
Buffoon.
Yeah, I agree.
You know?
Agree.
Because in the book, they talk more about like his like blank. I mean, granted, this one did have a bit of a blank stare, but the other one had like rotting teeth and drooling constantly. Mm-hmm. Kind of like a little more unevolved.
But you know what I loved about the way they played this Marley was that. And we talked about how Tobias sees this whole thing as a romantic thing between he and Jamie. And when he and Jamie are having one of their moments and Marley kind of walks in and he just looks really awkward. He's like, I'll be right out there.
Oh, that's after the hands.
It is. But I'm just saying it's like, it was one of those moments. Like that was such an interesting moment that they added in there. Just having Marley walk in to be like, I shouldn't be here. I'm going
to
go.
I have to say, okay, so at this point, BJR pulls out the letter from that Jamie had written to Sandringham, right?
Yes.
The letter about BJR and his whole...
the petition,
All his accusations and petitions. And I get that BJR was explaining that Sandringham, talks a big game and blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. So basically he was just saying Sandringham just gave me this letter. And
gave it to him. He said that Sandringham likes to talk and that he spoke with friends of his, and we assume that either the friends got the petition and gave it to him or he got it from him himself. We don't know exactly how he got it, but he said Sandringham likes to talk and he has and BJR has friends. Who know that? We know that BJR knows Sandringham.
So who got a hold of the letter?
That we don't know. It wasn't said.
I was a little confused.
But it was nice. I think it was a nice turn that they, because it was obviously introduced a few episodes ago, I think it was nice that they brought it back. Mm-hmm. And I think it was just a nice tie-in.
Yeah.
And it gives us, although we don't know the extent yet as viewers. As readers, we do, but not as viewers. But it gives us some more information about his relationship with Le Duc.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then we flash over to Claire and Marta again at Wentworth. She goes in, this is try number two, with the ruse that Sir Fletcher is expecting her, knowing, of course, that he's not at his desk. And so she is able to wait. And at first we don't know if the attendant guy is going to stay there, and then she invites him, and he's like, yeah, okay, no, I won't stay.
He's all, you're trying to get me to get in trouble?
And in the office, once the attendant leaves, they, just like in the book, are rummaging through the stuff. And
but where did he find those keys? They were just magically in his hand.
No, the attendant came back.
When the attendant came back, Murta had him in his hand.
He did. They were rummaging, didn't they?
I thought the attendant had him.
No. I mean, I'm sure he has his own keys.
No, because he was... No, but okay. They had started searching the office.
Uh-huh.
They had started searching the office as soon as...
The Duke left.
Or not the Duke.
Sir
Fletcher. They started searching as soon as he left.
Sir Fletcher wasn't there at all. It was...
The
guard guy.
The attendant. Mm-hmm. Don't they flash... They flash... Because once he leaves...
They start looking, but they never show him finding the keys.
No, they never show him finding the keys. But they flash back to the jail cell, don't they? Or the prison cell?
They do. So
by the time they get back, Murtaugh, when they get back to Claire, Murtaugh says, forget about the map. There's no map here of the prison. And he has the keys in his hand. Like, all we've got are the keys. Let's just go with this. That's kind of what I assumed was like, all we found was the keys. Let's just do it.
Mm-hmm. I just feel like they should have shown him finding the keys. I don't know why. Well, that was just all of a sudden he had keys.
Yeah. Anyway.
I mean, obviously we filled in the blanks in our head. He found the keys, but I feel like that was...
So anyway, they're rummaging. And then what happens after that? I forget.
Well, the...
Dude shows back up.
Dude shows up. At the same time, we see the hand with the keys.
Yeah.
And then
there's a struggle. And he's trying to pull his club out. It cuts away.
We go back to the cell first.
Yeah, we go back to the cell. What happens in the cell?
In the cell, we're back with the couple. And he says, BJR says to Jamie, may I call you Jamie?
Ugh.
I mean, it's just the start of this whole thing. So when Blackjack Randall asks him if Jamie sees him when he closes his eyes.
Oh, God.
This is the epitome of BJR. Yes, he's into pain. Yes, he's into blood. He wants that. But it's all about making a mark.
He wants to know that he's gotten in his head.
Exactly. And I wrote, oh, the creeper. He wants to make, your words, Lenai, he wants to make a mark on his soul just as he did on his back.
Is this the point where he looks at his back or no?
He asks to, but he doesn't do it yet.
And that's when they have a struggle.
Okay.
And he says, when you lie upon your wife and her hands trace the scars upon your back, do you ever think of me? And as he's asking the question, you notice that camera shot where Jamie's off far in the corner, his back to him, and he puts his hand like he's caressing him.
Yes.
Beautiful camera work. Anna Förster, sehr, sehr schön. Woo!
Yeah. And he says, crazy. Do you ever think of me does it make you go soft?
Yeah, yes.
And I'm just like, oh my God. And this is where I wrote, BJR is a sick fuck.
Of course he is.
He just is. So, he's just sick.
And he's still trying to deal. He's like, surrender to me. Oh, this is where it gets interesting. Surrender to me and I'll give you a final gift. I will give you the death you deserve. Clean, honorable, of your own choosing. And then he gives a few examples of death. Okay. He says, a Roman death, like Brutus.
Yes. Yes.
And the reason we're laughing is because he played Brutus.
In Rome.
And he fell upon his sword. Yes. I'm sorry. The writers had to know. This is such an inside. I love it because it's totally not in the book.
No, it's
okay,
not.
But
it's,
what awesome.
That's not what I was going to say. What I was going to say is that he mentioned Romans and Greeks.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one more, and I don't remember which one it was.
The other one was just slit your throat from behind.
Okay. Okay, no, all three of those, I will say all three of those are vaguely sexual in overtones. Because if you think of those, at least the Romans and the Greeks, those societies were known for being very open sexually.
Yeah.
So I thought it was interesting they chose those two to talk about.
So hedonistic?
Yeah, hedonistic. Yeah. They're known. I mean, if you look back at the pottery from Greece and Rome, they all show.
Oh, stuff.
Yeah, you know what that reminds me of is the birdcage, La Cage aux Folles.
Yes.
Exactly. He's like, all the dishes. Are these boys playing leapfrog?
Yeah. Oh, gosh. So but I love it. I mean, it's like those two things, and then slitting your throat from behind and behind from behind. I mean,
exactly.
It was all
eluding.
Hello.
Yes.
When we did our read along, what was this chapter? This chapter is called "Went with Prison." What was our episode called?
Back doors.
Just saying.
No, but I have to say, kudos to the writers for slipping in the Brutus comment.
Wait, slipping in? Lene, it gets better. Don't worry.
I did not mean to do that. I swear.
Okay. So actually, before when they were in the office and the attendant comes in, and then they cut away. It's before the keys, actually. So the attendant comes in, Myrta clocks him, and he has the keys at this point. Claire then basically has a limited amount of time to go find
her man. And she says, give me the keys and you get out.
And exactly. And Myrta says, whatever happens, basically. We hope to get him, but whatever. Meet me
in
the woods behind the prison. So then we see shots of Claire in the bowels of the prison looking for Jamie. She goes to a few different cells and then someone tells her, you know, look down below.
Yeah. And I have to say, I was a little disappointed that she didn't let the prisoners out. Didn't she let them out?
That would have been so easy. I thought she let a few out, yeah.
I thought she let them out in the book to cause confusion or whatever, but maybe not. Maybe am I totally remembering that wrong?
No, I think you... I think it's correct.
I thought she had let them out to kind of help cause confusion. Because not all of them are chained to the walls.
No.
Some of them are, and some of them are just in the cells. But anyway.
Back in... the cell.
Okay, but in the book, weren't they in his private quarters?
That I don't think so.
His private quarters.
VJR's?
VJR's
quarters. I think it was in a cell away from people.
No, it was a very dark, dank cell in the bottom of the prison.
Away from people.
That he had set up personally to entertain whoever he wanted to entertain. Yeah, there was a small bed in it. There was a small table. There was a lamp, and there was a bucket of nails and a hammer.
There have been, and I think it would have, in the book it happened before this, I think.
Just like my bedroom.
Yeah.
Wow. Back in the cell, Jamie looks, we know he's not, but Jamie looks pretty comfortable.
Yeah.
For as comfortable as you can be. He's got some food. He's got a place to sit. He's just kind of hanging. This, of course, can't be good, because... The Calm Before the Storm, right?
Mm-hmm.
He says to BJR, I won't surrender to you or any man. And BJR is like, well, you know, I would have been kind of disappointed if you had said you would. And there's a little bit of a pause, and then he says, will you show me your back? And Jamie says, if it will shut you up, basically. Mm-hmm. If you'll stop talking, fine. And of course, Jamie uses this opportunity to get BJR close to him so he can attack him. And, of course, Marley comes in, and Marley butts in.
Yeah,
and
but you have to say, I mean, the way Tobias played this, looking at the scars.
Oh, yeah.
And how he, oh, God.
No,
how
but
he looks like.
His shirt's not open yet.
Oh, it's not open
no,
yet?
No, that's
oh,
at the God. End. He cuts it.
Oh. No, he just lifts it. He lifts his
it
shirt.
At this
okay.
point, doesn't he?
Yeah, because he starts
but there's
to
no,
look at it. And
there's
then...
no.
Oh, no.
That's later.
No, he starts to look at it, and then that's when Jamie turns and...
Yes. He's waiting for him to be close to have an effect. And then I had a flash again to our read-along for this chapter. I just remembered the stool. Yeah. And he had the freaking stool, and it broke. Oh, my gosh. It was just like, it was too perfect. That's all. And Marley
like,
and everything.
Oh, but do you know what was so beautiful about the choreography of this scene? The stool breaks,
exactly.
And all these pieces. And then later, when he goes to look for a nail, he pulls the stool leg up and pulls the nail out of it. It was like the perfect placement
reason
of a nail.
Because
he did not set this dungeon room up like
to have
was
hammer
in the
book. Nail stuff.
No.
So it was the perfect way of like for a writer to be like, how do we get a hammer and a nail? Well, the hammer he brought in, but how
the
do we get a nail?
Stool.
Yeah.
So I had, I'm not going to lie, there were some, I don't want to say light moments in the episode, but there were some that just, or at least one, that
there
made me,
dark
that made me laugh. Well, we know that.
Lighting notwithstanding.
But when Marley is on top of Jamie, you know, strangling him, and BGR's, you know, he
kicks
him. Marley,
kicks him, and
he gets
the
off
face.
Of him.
The face.
But he says,
"You could've.
Basically, what do you think you're doing? You could have killed him."
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that's funny.
Well,
you would have ruined
my
toy.
Yeah,
exactly.
You would have ruined my toy that I just got for Christmas.
And then he punishes Jamie by doing the first thing.
Oh, yeah.
He uses the mallet on his hand. And it just this is a hard keeps scene to watch. Going. I mean, we know the hand is fake, but still, it but just I was thrown going.
That they broke his left hand. Because in the book, it's his right hand, because Black Jack doesn't realize that he's left-handed.
Agreed.
But I think maybe because they realized in this scene was going to have to be cut short anyway, because there's way more of struggle and fighting and stuff in this room than happens in the book that you just can't fit all in.
Exactly.
And at one point he punches him, he's fighting left-handed, and that's when he realized in the book, I got the wrong hand. Mm-hmm. And then he puts the nail through his good hand. The nail through his good hand and the bad hand. So I think they figure, well, we'll just keep it all on the one hand. Mm-hmm. You know? Keep all the damage done to one hand. And put it all... Anyway.
And this... I wrote, oh my gosh, the hand. I can't even. And then without giving... Okay, no spoilers. This is the beginning of the Jamie of the next 8 books. It's very sad. But it's...
The breaking... Of him.
It's the Jamie as the Jamie that is the result of this season one, book one, is the Jamie we have the rest of the story. And it's not wonderful to see. It's wonderful to see this opening into what we know is to come because we know the story. But it is awful.
It's difficult
awful,
to watch.
Awful to watch.
No, and I mean, you're watching a man literally
broken. Exactly. And then, again, like the lover, as Summer said, like this romantic relationship, after he's just half destroyed his hand, and he says later, the ruined one, so he did ruin his hand, he's holding him and comforting him.
He's muttering, I'll kill you. I'll kill you. Isn't that what he's... He's muttering.
I think so.
I'll kill you. But he's
He's crying.
He's cradling his maimed
exactly.
hand.
Exactly. And BJR is trying to, not console him for real, but trying to say, oh, it's okay, it's okay. He literally is. Yeah. And then he takes his hand.
No, his good hand.
His good hand and cups himself.
And that made me throw up in my mouth a
little. How would he have been able to explain away a giant blood stain on his crotch as he leaves the dungeon? So he had to use
a good hand.
But I was just... And that's the point where Marley looked a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
That was the point where Marley was like, what's going on?
And this is the another interesting musical point. At the point where he's saying... No, this is not right. I will not give in to coarse passion. And he decides not to do whatever he was about to start to do there.
You hear the music.
Music of the bagpipes go.
But it's all. But it's not. It's the funny not thing is, it's obvious. Not. It's not obvious, but it's also in. It's dissonant as well.
It is.
There too.
It is.
It's not like a normal like happy chord slowing down or going flat. It's.
Yeah.
It's a bunch. It's a very dissonant chord that sags.
Yes.
I know. It does. It's like...
It becomes flaccid.
It does.
Wow.
And they do that same thing more than once.
Yes. Oh, yes.
In this episode. That same dissonant chord that drops, that goes flat. Mm-hmm. It's really interesting.
And so then we flash to Claire, who is still trying to find Jamie. She's smart.
And one of the things they show, because they kind of flash back to her during the scene of his hand being maimed. Her looking for him, and one of the reasons they lead you to believe she's able to find him is because she can hear him screaming.
Yes.
Because you can definitely see at one point he starts screaming, and she looks up and she realizes, and she starts
and
heading
that
towards.
Scream was awful,
heart wrenching.
Oh my god, it's almost worse hearing it than seeing it. It was just awful. She smartly uses the keys she has. She finds a door that she opens and removes the bolt from. So then she recloses it.
Well, she doesn't latch it because she realizes it goes outside.
Absolutely.
It's an exit. She's like, we may need this in a minute. So she literally throws the bolt out the door so that it can't be locked.
It was huge.
I mean, she literally like couldn't even throw it very far because it was so heavy.
Yeah.
And then she comes. Okay. Back in their cell, BJR has left for the moment. And Marley. And Jamie's lying on the floor on his own. And she finds him. She finds the cell. And as soon as she sees him, their theme starts to play. And it is like some variation of their theme that is... it's like the saddest time I've ever heard their theme. I mean, obviously because of what's happening. Yeah. But it was just awful, but beautiful. And I wrote... Effer. I mean, what else can you say? And in his delirium, this gets me. in his delirium of pain, he says, "Ah, it's you.
Oh,
you must leave. Randall will be coming back." And then he says, "Dinafash sasnach, but you must leave."
Oh, I know.
And Claire says, "No, not without you. Stay awake. Stay with me." And she tries to use the mallet.
Yeah.
And like the key in the book. and the something.
Shoved one of the keys in the lock, iron, and started trying to pound on it with the mallet.
But in the book, didn't she start trying the keys? And he's like, "You don't need the right key. You just need a key that fits." But he tells her to.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I do remember that.
You just need a key that fits in the hole, and so then you can pound on it. Yeah.
And then in walks.
Pound on it.
Yeah.
And then in walks BJR. And of course Marley grabs her. Then the soldiers interrupt, and we learn from them that there was someone trying to help someone escape, and Claire tries and to get them to listen to
well
say,
they
look,
say we think this woman
yes
has trying to help someone escape.
Exactly. And then BJR, as Claire did last episode, BJR pulls rank and says, basically, "I command you to leave." Or this, yes, you're right, there was something, but it's under control now.
He says, this is the woman, and this is the person she's trying to help escape.
And you
so
can
it's
see,
under control.
Exactly.
So get out of here.
And
God
they,
save
and
the
they
king.
Run off.
Don't interrupt my interrogation.
Yeah. And she even asks them, she says, "Please take me to Sir Fletcher."
Yes.
And they ask BJR,
can we take this woman?
And
yes.
He says, "Nope. No, you can't. Now leave. I'm interrogating." Quote unquote, interrogating. Yeah. Anyway.
Lots and of then terror. And then he asks Marley to search her for weapons.
Ew, this is
everywhere. Cool. Ugh, blah.
Yeah. And then Marley pulls away from like searching under her skirts. He like smells his hand.
Does he lick it or smell it?
He smells it.
I know. Well, I saw his hand go to his face. I didn't.
That was enough, I guess.
It was enough.
And then BJR is telling her, "You know, it's really a shame because you really are a lovely woman."
This whole scene here is BJR, it's a total cat playing with a mouse.
Yeah.
He's standing behind her, and she's standing really rigid, and he's like pulling the pins out of her hair, like, "Let me show you how in control I am at this moment, how you have no control, I have all the control, I have all the power." It's a total power trip.
Of course.
And him saying, "I can do whatever I want with you, and nobody's going to help you."
Absolutely.
It was just sick. But good. Well played. But still.
And then going on with what you were saying, and he's talking to her and telling her, "Oh, you know, it's a shame. You really are a lovely woman, all this and all that." And he's slowly taking the pins out of her hair and putting,
and
not
and smelling
it,
her
but
hair.
Putting it, oh, hello. Flashback to Jenny.
Yeah.
He like sniffs her entire face before he mouth
Predator
rapes her.
Much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or finger rape, whatever.
Fish hooks her.
Is that what it's called? I've never heard of that.
My brother explained that to me.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, I've never heard the term fish hooking before.
So
and I was like, "What was up with him sticking his fingers in her mouth?" And my brother's like, "Oh yeah, fish hooking." I'm like, "That's the thing? That's a thing that guys do."
The more you know.
I know.
Merwink and finger hooking.
Fish hooking. Finger hooking is probably something completely different.
I don't
different.
Know.
It's probably like knitting with just your fingers.
Or something completely different.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, there's some really gross terms
The thing that Randall, I can't even say Randall, the thing that BJR does with his mouth, it's like he did it when he was coming
chewing,
in.
The
yes,
side of his
it's
mouth.
Like he has chewing tobacco, but he doesn't.
It's like he sticks his tongue kind of through the side of his mouth like he's...
What is it? It's not a towel. It's not a twitch. What would you call it?
Like
it's just
old
a,
food in between his teeth.
It looks like he's prodding his, like prodding his side of his cheek or his teeth.
Yeah, but
his
what do you call it when someone has like a twitch or a move or something like that? It's just like a not. It's
a
not
tick.
A, maybe not. It wasn't a
mannerism.
Tick.
Just a mannerism.
I guess a mannerism. It's just. I mean,
but
gosh.
He only does it when he's BJR.
Not just that, but only he doesn't do it all the time as BJR. It's when he's in certain situations as BJR.
Yeah.
But it's the amount of, and I'm sure I know they all. We know. Well, I'm sure Katrina does, but because the book is so much more... Okay, the book does not talk about BJR twitchy stuff. The book does talk about a lot of Jamie's mannerisms, his finger twitching.
Well, because it's from Claire's point of view, so it's always Claire is watching Jamie and seeing what's going on.
And so we don't have that about BJR, which is fine.
But Sam has used a lot of Jamie's mannerisms from the book, like his finger twitch when he's...
And the little smile
and
the sleep.
Yeah.
All of that. And so... When you look at the detail to that, and other people, we're not the first to mention that. So many people have talked about Sam and his preparation, and people in the production have talked about it. And even though we don't know about anything from the book. It could have been BGR. Who knows what he would have done. But even if it's not from the book, the amount of preparation that
and character
Tobias,
development.
Oh my gosh, yeah. That Tobias has done. And not just like, oh, I think it would be great if he did this. And then in this scene, he is as any good actor who's preparing.
He has maintained.
He's carried it over. I mean,
he's maintained
holy crap.
the character.
Holy crap.
Yeah, it's really good.
So the thing with his mouth, I just like it. It's so effective.
Yeah.
No, well, I like his character.
Yeah, character. Yeah,
she also kind of likes.
She also kind of likes it because she's way into Tobias. She's all, you can do that all the time.
Finger hook.
What you need?
I mean,
fish hook. Oh my god! Ginger.
I can't get it right.
You can't get it. You just need to stop trying to say it. Okay.
Just don't Google it.
No, I'm afraid to do that.
No, but you need to gif that him doing that motion and put that on. You need to gif it because he does, and he kind of like stretches his jaw as he does it.
Up until this point, Jamie has been playing possum.
Yeah.
Basically.
And which
not that he didn't. Well, yeah, you don't know. You think he's like totally laid out with pain, which he is. He uses the opportunity to, to attack Marley when basically BJR is leading up to saying, you know what? I don't want to watch it, but dude, Marley likes you. He can take you over there. You know, he doesn't want to watch it. He's like, you're lovely. I just don't like to watch that kind of thing. My tastes are maybe...
But you know what?
Yeah,
I don't want to see that.
Claire is the one who started the...
Told him, don't you want to watch?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But in the book, the reason he didn't want to watch was because Marley...
Was disgusting.
Was because Marley apparently did awful things. Like, he was not...
Oh, like destroyed
flesh.
And,
yeah, like...
Well, how is that different from BJR? But
I don't know. I'm just... Yeah. Maybe that's why.
Apparently,
they didn't
BJR
keep it.
Has limits.
He, I don't know.
And Marley is one of them. Watching
Marley.
Well,
if
Marley
was going to do things to Claire that BJR didn't want to watch, that must have
then
been.
Then I definitely don't want to see that. I don't want to hear about it. So Jamie has been playing possum. He uses the opportunity to attack Marley once it's clear that he was kind of getting a hold of Claire. And he tries to help Claire. BJR grabs Claire. And, of course, Jamie's now attacking Marley, right? He kind of gets Marley
a
little...
He grabs the stump of the stool leg and jabs him in the throat and kills him.
Yeah.
And that's not from the book either.
The book, he just gets knocked out, but he kills
Because Marley's around for a little bit longer.
Because BJR, at this point in the show, says... He says something like, oh, great.
He's like,
that wasn't supposed to happen, kind of. Like, the way he acted. But he was very nonchalant about it, like, oh, well.
Yeah.
You know?
And BJR grabs Claire, and he's choking her up against the bars.
Yeah.
And Jamie, this is the moment that BJR's been waiting for, because this is where it happens. This is where the next 8 books happen, right here. The beginning. He says, Jamie yells, stop. And BJR jumps on that. He says, make me a better offer.
Yeah.
I mean, as quick as you will, make me a better offer. Jamie says, let her go to safety and you can have me do what you wish with me. This is exactly what BJR wants. And he is saying, basically, will you allow me a brief test of your sincerity? And I wrote, oh, no.
This is a bad, bad part.
So Jamie says, or nods, and... He puts his ruined hand... BJR says, put your hand on the table, right?
Yeah.
And Jamie puts his good hand... Sorry.
His good hand up.
And he says, no. Your ruined hand. The ruined one.
And he puts it palm up.
And just the
way BJR is looking at him as he's like...
It's like...
And he takes his fingers and flattens his hand. And let me tell you. For somebody who has... I've broken my hand before. I've broken my foot before. I've torn my ACL. I've hurt myself a lot, evidently.
Because she rides horses.
It's not all from horses, but...
Can't swim.
And can't swim. Without breaking your hand. And can't walk.
I broke my hand trying to practice the dive.
She literally, we were standing in the pool, like, it wasn't even deep, and she just, like, dove down and misjudged it and broke my hand.
I was going to go do a handstand, and I misjudged the bottom of the pool, and I broke my... Anyway, so... I know how, like, I can imagine just from breaking, I mean, I recently broke my foot, 8 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting on the floor for, like, 20 minutes holding my foot, and it was just a teeny little bone that broke off the end of my foot bone. It wasn't even, like, a big break right through the middle, you know? And I was sitting there clutching my foot, like screaming in pain.
Mm-hmm.
And so loud, my husband came running from the other end of the house to see what the heck happened. And I was like, don't touch me. Don't touch me. Don't touch me. Just leave me here for a minute. I need to sit here for a minute. It took me like 20 minutes to be able to like catch my breath again and get myself up on one foot and hobble over to the couch. And that was just a small teeny break in my foot. It wasn't like some major compound fracture where the bone was protruding. I mean, this here, and your hands and feet have such so many nerve endings. Gosh. And to look at that hand with it like split open and, and BJR flattening out his fingers before he takes the nail and puts it in. It made me, my stomach just churn. It made my stomach churn. That's all I can say about that.
That was a lot.
It was a lot. Sorry. But it grossed me out.
When he puts his ruined hand on the table, and then he immediately uses his good hand to grab Claire.
Yeah.
To hold her. And I wrote, effer, that nail. Like, oh my gosh. Even knowing
the
what is coming.
Ever.
Even
like
knowing.
A 4-inch nail.
It was huge. Even knowing what was coming. It was so hard to, it was hard to watch. I'm not going to lie. It was hard to watch. And not just like, say, to watch the start of it, but he kept hammering that in. And it was just like, good Lord, you can't hurt it anymore. It's going to, already dead. What are you doing to his hand?
Yeah.
And just before nailing his hand, Jamie is making, oh my God, okay. Even to read this is a bit much. Just before he starts nailing his hand, Claire's sobbing. It's like, Jamie, no, that got me. And he's holding her with his good arm, his good hand, and he says, he's shushing her. He's trying to calm her a tiny bit, like you do a child.
Because Blackjack was like, quiet her, or I'll quiet her for you.
Yes, but he's shushing her as she's sobbing. And as he does so, his own shushes turn to sobs.
Yeah.
And it was just, I mean, he's crying too.
Oh, God.
This whole episode was every single part of it, especially from the big three. Oh, Emmy worthy. I mean, what the actual hell?
Yeah.
This was ridiculous. I'm not afraid. I'm looking forward to it, but I don't even know where 116 can go. And it's supposed to be like amazeballs. This was freaking amazeballs. This, I think now, although I loved 112 for what it was. It was awesome. My favorite part of the book hasn't changed. Performance-wise, I think my favorite thus far, my favorites are this one and the Garrison Commander. Just because, I mean, yes, the BJR, but just performance-wise, it is crazy. Yeah. It is crazy. And then BJR says, just before he escorts, quote-unquote escorts, yeah, that's like a nice way to put it, right? Just before he escorts Claire to safety.
To safety.
Quote-unquote. Okay. Air quotes.
Air quotes.
He means says, dropping her 20 feet.
He says, yes. He says, I haven't even begun. With the whole Jamie thing.
And then he says, now kiss me.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, yeah.
Hold on. Yeah. And then I wrote, it is such Christ symbolism, it's not even funny. Dang it. And it's so funny you said that because I'm sure it was in the book. I just didn't remember this. The fact that his hand was palm up.
And he puts the nail
through. Yeah, well, the nail, yes, through but the palm up holy crap. Yeah, I didn't get that. Oh, Lordy. The nail I got, but the palm up part,
I
didn't.
I always
She's holding him, and he's, as he's being nailed to the wood. I mean, it, and then the whole thing, now kiss me.
Ugh.
That was the smarmiest, slimiest line from the book.
Gives me the shivers.
It still gives me the shivers, and Claire's sobbing right now, right there, gets me.
Yeah.
That gets me.
Well, could you imagine, okay, being present for any moment of that encounter would have
break
been awful.
You.
But being forced, you're down on the ground, you're like grabbing at your husband and you're just wishing you could save him and you're just sitting there watching your husband make out with his like,
well, you're watching him being violated.
Yeah.
Basically. Watching the man you
in
love
order to save your life.
Tortured and violated to save you.
Oh,
I mean,
Lord.
And the sobs, I mean, the sobbing.
Well,
and
there's nothing you
the
can
do about
it.
The sounds coming from her during this whole scene are just gut-wrenching.
Oh, all of it. Her face when he holds her up against that, the cell wall.
Yeah,
I mean, all of it.
Good.
She does. She gives good, and I mean this as her performance-wise. I'm not saying, I'm not trying to make any weird comment here. She gives good cry face.
Yeah.
When she cries here in the Garrison Commander, you can, I mean, she commits. And I mean, she's just really good because her face, She doesn't look huge, but her face, you can tell that, that swollenness, right? The swelling to your face when you, like, your nose swells, you have, like, your lips a little bit.
And, like, what
she
was that?
She is really, truly it.
What
feeling
was it your interview with the writer that I just listened to about him saying
Mike Barker?
Yeah,
The director.
Yeah, or the director. Sorry, the director. Him talking, because he directed The Witch Trial.
Yes.
And him saying how convincing Katrina was, because when they whipped her in the scene,
she scared him.
And he thought, oh my God, we've just like broken our actress.
Broken the star.
Yeah, because he thought something had gone wrong with the props or something.
And she was just good.
And yeah. Yeah.
Could you imagine? I mean, I believe it. I think if I had been lucky enough to be an extra in that scene, I would have lost my shiz too. So after he kisses him and he's just about to take Claire out of the cell, he says, and this goes back to what Summer said and what I said about that romance thing.
Yeah.
He says, we'll remember this moment the rest of our lives.
No, and he meant all of them. The three
of
them.
Yes, of course he would.
Not just them.
And this comes back. Okay.
We'll all remember this moment.
Sorry. This comes back in season two.
Back forever.
Jamie just, so heartbreaking. He just keeps saying, take her away. Take her away. He keeps saying it in between his own thoughts. He's just saying, take her away. He doesn't want
to
see her.
At this point, he's already trying to, like, separate himself, her, from what's going to happen to him.
He's like, I'm going to give you myself. Get her the F out of here. I need to know that she's gone.
That was the condition.
Exactly.
Well, but it wasn't just that. He didn't want her to witness it.
Of course not.
He wanted her gone.
And remember him not like that.
Yeah, yeah. And know that Claire, he wants to keep Claire completely separate from what's about to happen.
And then,
either
there was no music or it wasn't obvious at this point, but I did take note on this. She pulls away, and as Jamie's saying, take her away, and BJR is getting her, she breaks away from BJR and goes to him, and she comes back. As soon as she breaks from him and goes to Jamie, their theme starts again.
Yeah.
I mean, it's... And he says, do as I say, I love you, my knee and down.
He didn't say the down part. I understood my knee and...
And I wrote...
And then he says, take her away again.
Yes. Notice that they have... Okay. Go back and watch it if you don't remember. As she's holding him and giving him the last caress before she leaves, notice that they have it so the hand you see holding his hand is the hand with his wedding ring.
Yeah.
In the camera. You don't even see the one from Frank. And then BJR takes Claire away, and as they're leaving, he says, another thing you would say to a lover, I shall return shortly.
Which he says in the book. It's the same.
For real. Thing. Yes. The same. And that always skeeved me out in the book, too.
Yeah,
I mean, everything. He's like, but I'll be back. I mean.
You're right back, babe.
Exactly.
I'm just going to get a glass of water.
Creepy,
creepy.
So BJR says to Claire as he escorts her out, never to see Jamie again, so I heard about this Cranesmere thing. They say you're a witch. And this was...
Oh, yeah, this whole...
One of my... Again, because, hello, witch trial. One of my favorite parts of this episode. She owns her witchiness.
Yeah.
She owns it. And this is something we see in the books from here on out. It's always a thing, her being out of her time, her being a healer. Okay, it always comes up. But especially in the next book, too. She's always in danger for some reason, and her mouth never helps her.
Yeah.
But this is the first time we see her
own it.
And not just own it like, yes, I am a witch. She says, I curse you. I curse you with knowledge. And she says, I curse you with the knowledge of the date and time, basically, of your death. She says his whole name and his birthday, and then just like in the books, whispers to him the day of his death. And I thought it was very clever, because we know as book readers what that will be, and we know in the book we're pretty sure what she said to him, but having it here being withheld from the viewer was awesome.
Yeah.
It was so... I loved it.
And the look on his face. Because as she's whispering, you can't really see her face. Her face is in shadow. All you see is Tobias's face and his reaction and just the look on his face, because he believes her.
Of course he does.
He believes her. At this moment in time, he's like, Jesus, she's for real.
Well, he should.
And it was good.
I couldn't imagine that having been done better.
No.
It was shivers.
Yeah. And then he shoves her down.
And then
he shoves
her down the hole. And I'm like, Claire got shoved down a lot of holes this year.
Yeah, I know.
Well, at least two, the thieves' hole
and her brakes fall on a bunch of dead bodies.
Yes.
Which is true to the book.
And in this pit of death, which is actually outside, yeah. it's in a pit, a hole in the bottom of the prison where they throw the dead people. Or no, a refuse hole, basically, yeah. mm-hmm. where that goes to
Did
the place
say
where
prison
the
prison instead of prison.
I don't know.
She goes prison.
Prison. Anyway.
We see, unfortunately, I mean, I'm glad they brought him back, but it was still kind of sad, but it was effective. We see the body of Tata McQuarrie. That was sad. And she, of course, rightly so, freaked out from what just happened, from her fall, and from what she falls into. And she makes her way out of there. And you see her, like, a landscape with her, and then you see the prison on one side, and then the woods. And then she has to climb up the hill.
She's like pulling herself up the hill.
As I was watching that, I was thinking to myself, what if that wasn't really a hill? And they were like, you're just going to pretend like it's a hill. So just grab onto the grass and we're going to tilt the camera a little bit. So it looks like you're scrabbling up a hill and you're just doing it on a flat line. I'm not saying that's what they did. I just had this image in my head of how silly that would have been.
I'd have to watch it again to see if that's, because they can do that kind of, they do that kind of thing all the time. But anyway.
And then we are
in the woods. Call and she's yelling and yelling for them.
Oh yes, and she and is found by Angus out.
Or Angus. Is it Angus?
Yes. And the wolves. Oh yeah, are yeah. howling. And I
but
thought,
we don't have wolves, but I we know. Have wolves.
Well, you they hear don't them howling, them, but we don't get the wolf scene. I missed the
Which
wolf
is all
scene,
good.
But
I'm glad they paid
homage
to it.
They did pay homage to it, but they didn't have time for it. They just
oh
didn't.
No, and it was too. It would have been too CGI.
Not
I
mean, only
it would
that,
have been
the seasons were not
flipped.
The same.
Exactly,
they flipped. They had because when they had to start filming this, the seasons were flip flopped.
Right. By doing that change and making the changes that they did throughout the rest of the episode, they basically changed how they're going to accomplish the next section of the book.
Yeah, and
not
I've heard
necessarily.
I've heard how, I've,
did, yes, the end they of this, are. The end of the episode gives you a clue as to what
it
they're going to do.
It does, but Claire was unconscious for the entire thing.
Okay, that just changes her.
I know, but she was because of her tussle with the wolf. Yeah. And all of that, she was, you know, collapses and McGranick picks her up and takes her back to his house. And then the Klansmen aren't there. So she's interacting with McGranick.
They shifted it around a bit.
Yeah.
They shifted things around to make it work out better for the audience. Because, like, things, you know, you can't, if she's unconscious and the story's from her point of view in a book, you can't show all the other stuff that's going on. Yeah. So they had to change it so that she was conscious, because it is her viewpoint. So they had to show all that going on. But I did like McGranick. I like the actor. I think he did a really good job. The whole scene with him and Claire, and him, you know, because he's saying, I'm not going to risk my family for this. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going
to
risk my
Before we go to McGranick, he's back in the cell.
Oh, really?
This is where BJR removes his shirt.
Oh, yeah. Oh, do we have to?
Girl, you're here.
Yeah.
Willingly. Okay. I didn't pull a BJR on you, so you got to talk about it.
Thank God.
let's not make that a thing.
Let's not make that a thing.
It's not a thing.
Please don't make that a thing.
So, we've kind of hinted at it, and Summer was the first one to mention the whole romance thing. This is right here. Okay, maybe not right here, because I can't say anything more. Right here, we see the most in this episode where the most evidence of BJR seeing him as lover.
Yeah. Well, and this is the... I knew, I'm like, okay, this episode, they can't show much more in the jail cell because we don't have time for that.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's why
I was thinking
116 is...
I was like, I they can't show much more because I think they're saving the worst of it for the next episode.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, I was right.
Because I was thinking that, it's like, okay.
We're running out of time here. Exactly. They can't show too much.
And that's why, and we kind of started with this. We kind of started the episode by saying this, is that as much as this has been not coined, but touted as, you know, Blackjack is back and all of that kind of thing and how awful it's going to be. And it was awful. Don't get me wrong.
When I
saw 115 at the point where, you know, 3 minutes left, 2 minutes left, you're like, ah, okay.
The worst is yet to come.
But wait, there's more.
Yeah.
But in the books, we don't hear about
what happens. Anything else until later,
and it's just him.
It's a flashback.
That's what I'm wondering.
Or
I'm
him
curious,
mentioning it.
I'm curious as to how they're going to
handle it.
If they're going to show it like real time, mm-hmm. what's going on in the cell. Because he does eventually tell Claire what happened in the cell.
Yes.
So that's why I'm thinking.
But not even everything, because. Yeah, okay, so I can't
that's
say anything
what
more.
I know, but that's why I'm thinking they are still going to have to use flashback. Yeah. While he.
Because they're already collecting the cows.
They've already got some of the cows. We still haven't even talked about the shirt.
Oh, no. Well, yeah, this was right. Okay, so this is a point at which BJR removes Jamie's shirt. And it's very slow, and, I mean, if you want to say it, it's not romantic, but it's romantic.
And you can tell BJR he's sensual.
Yes, there you go.
I'll say that. He's trying to be sensual.
And he licks his scars and the back. I mean, just, he really.
I just got, like, goosebumps again.
And this is what I was saying. This is where he really begin the sensualness, that sensuality of it. This is what we're seeing is not true lover, but this is BJR as Jamie's lover.
Yeah.
In a very sick and twisted way. They're not lovers, but this is his fantasy.
Yes.
And he says, then shall I begin? And that is the last we see of BJR and Jamie in this episode, in the cell.
But I couldn't even look at BJR in the scene because all I could see was Sam's face.
Oh, Sam's face.
Oh, Sam's
he
face
owned it.
Throughout
Sam
this whole
owned
thing.
It. Sam owned
no,
it.
No, but this last scene in that cell
was horrific.
He looked like a little boy.
He did.
He looked like a tortured, like a scared
yes.
little boy who's, and rightfully so, whose world is
who knows
ending.
That the boogeyman is real.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah, absolutely. And his face. It's all on his face. It's all on his face. And that's why when the first time I watched the episode and I, Katrina in that beginning scene when she was acting and acting and all that, that's why I thought, oh, this is her moment. This is one of her moments. This is, you know, this may be her episode. And then it gets further along and you're like, no, this is Sam's. No, this is BJR.
Yeah.
I can't choose one.
Yeah.
But that's why I said if I had to go somewhere because of at the end, Sam. Because of Sam in this scene, Sam at the end
breaks your heart.
Well, he does, but that's why I said I don't think I can choose. But if I had to choose, that tipped it over for me. I think into Sam because he has you in as an actor in the palm of his hand. You want to literally like cradle his head. You know what I mean? He's just.
I wanted to take a mallet to BJR's face.
There you go.
That's what I wanted to do.
Yeah, me too.
And then, even though we already said it, this is the point at which we go back outside and we don't have the wolves, but we hear them.
Yeah.
And then we are taken to McRanick's house, Eldridge Hall, Eldridge Manor.
Eldridge Manor, I thought.
And this moved pretty quickly. I guess when you only have a few minutes left, you got to move it quickly.
Yeah.
Claire is basically saying, with the other Mackenzie men that she's with, she's like, can you help us?
And he said, give us men.
Yes, give us men. We need to go storm the castle. But
storming the castle.
But he's like, I'm sorry. I feel really bad for you, but I'm not putting myself or my people at risk.
And he's like, I have two children and a wife
and
upstairs
to
sleep.
And I don't want the British coming down here.
I'm
to
like, forget all of that. Yes, he has those things. But he lives near the prison.
That's true.
Going to be full of redcoats for
exactly.
the foreseeable future. And if he gets in trouble for doing this, he's never going to hear the end of it. And then he's
of
going
course.
To be harassed.
Well, he'll be
whatnot.
He'll be probably hanged if he gets.
Or he may
know,
be BJR. You
if
never
he gets,
know.
Yeah, if he gets associated at all. You
exactly.
can't blame the guy is all I'm
oh,
saying.
Oh, no. Of course
you can't
not.
Blame him for the way he acts and what he says. And then is this the point where she says, I'll pay you?
Yes.
And
she pulls
and she
out
looks
the pearls
for things to pay him with. Yes.
And he sees them and he goes, where did you get the pearls?
And I thought, yes, it's from the book, but I was just thinking, as not me, but someone who is a viewer who hasn't read the books, might it not be a little, not farcical, but, like, convenient that two different pieces of jewelry belonging to two different men who both were crazy for Ellen in two episodes next to each other? I think, I'm not sure how close exactly that happens in the books. Obviously, McGranick's happens right here.
It doesn't happen very close in the books. In the books... the boar's tusks things come out at
Lallybroch.
At Lallybroch during
breakfast
quarter rents.
No, oh, yeah, quarter day?
At quarter day.
Over a
but
meal?
It's breakfast at quarter day.
And Myrta is
Myrta
there.
Shows up for quarter day. And because in the books they'd been at Lollybrook
for a bit,
a long time, yeah, for at least several weeks when Murtaugh shows up and he sees the tusks there. So it's much more separate. I hope the audience can kind of
appreciate it and not too copycatty,
yeah,
or too like.
Because I think they wanted to do it because they want to stay as true to the books as possible.
Absolutely.
And they want to get all these little things in that the fans really, really want to see.
And if
they had left out, like, the boar tusks.
Oh, gosh.
Or the pearls.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Fans would have gone
rabid. Well, the thing about the boar tusks is interesting, and it ties in Murtaugh. But it wouldn't have hurt the story to leave it out, necessarily. To not have the pearls, I mean, you can come up with something else, but that is what makes Mac'Ranach, at least in the books, willing to help.
Yeah. All I took away from that was that Ellen McKenzie must have been one fine ass bitch.
That's what I wrote down. I said she must have been dreamy.
Yeah.
And so far we haven't had any flashbacks of her. So I hope she has to be a.
I don't think they'll have any flashbacks of her.
I mean, one day.
I think
in other books, not here.
No.
In other seasons,
yeah. But no, she must have been quite the lady. And I think also. You know, in some women, and just like with men, it's the same way. It's not just their looks. It's their attitude. It's their presence. It's that thing, one thing that you just can't put your finger on that people are drawn to them. Just like people are drawn to Jamie as a leader. It's the same thing, probably, I'm sure, that how his mother drew these men to her is that she had this thing about her that men just loved and men fell for. So... which I think Claire kind of has that as well.
Absolutely. And something else that inner strength,
that thing that men are just like, wow, she's...
And something else that I just thought of about Claire and obviously the huge emotional thing that happened in the cell. This is, I think, we know things have been turning for a bit and she's been caught, but a few things have happened since the last time she saw him, right? She's made the choice to stay with Jamie. She's confessed her love to him, helped his sister give birth, all of these things, and become more committed to him, right? Survived witch trial, all of this. And when the stuff goes down in that cell, finally we can say 100% she no longer sees Frank.
No.
In his face. She no longer. Frank is a memory to her.
Yeah.
This is no longer attached with Frank.
No.
Completely
separated.
And that is heartbreaking. And it's just, it's all that. Yeah. Back in Mac'Ranach's. So she's asking for help. He says no. She brings out the pearls and the whole thing with the pearls. And this whole time, and it wasn't just all of a sudden, it was actually, it was building. You heard the cows outside, almost the whole conversation. I was like, awesome.
Yeah.
And then one of his men, he hears something outside or he goes, or the guy comes in, but I forget how it happens, but Mac'Ranach is getting after his man.
He goes to check on the cows. He's like,
but his man,
the cows are finally here, and he goes to check on them.
Yeah, and his man is, the same name for the book, Absalom.
Yeah, Absalom.
I love it.
I remember that.
And he's like, Absalom, he's getting after Absalom, who's lost some cattle.
Well, he's lost like half the cattle.
Like more,
like,
yeah.
Well, he said 40
to 19.
Head. Yeah, 40 head. That's like less than half of what
exactly.
He should have
had. And so as the rest of them kind of file outside one by one, Angus like kind of walks away looking around at the cattle, at the coos, and then comes back and he's like, we got cows. We got cattle.
We have something.
We have something
to work with.
And that's where it ends.
Like 19 or 12 cows isn't nothing.
Yeah.
However many cows it was.
19 cows isn't nothing.
Not nothing.
Nope. Not when was it Rupert who's good with the cattle, right?
Yes.
Because they always talk about that in the book, that he's good at, that the kine will follow him anywhere.
Yes.
Right?
He's the kine whisperer.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, ladies, what, we just talked about one of the most difficult episodes. What?
I'm a little drained.
It was draining. And what was your favorite moment, whether it was because it was from the book or no. Okay, I'm not saying what was
wrong
awesome. What was awesome to see? I mean, as a performance. What was your top moment from the episode if you had to pick one?
Sam's face at the end.
Oh, mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Definitely.
Katrina gives such good face, though. I mean, it's crazy.
Everything in that cell. Everything that happened in the cell. Because Tobias, you can just tell these actors play really well together. Because they are...
And they trust each other.
Yeah, and they trust each other. They're all very strong actors. And when you get a group of strong actors together who trust each other, it's like...
It's magic.
It is.
It is crazy magic.
It is.
And it's whole.
It literally is like... It's amazing in a painful
way. It's another
way.
World. Exactly. It's like another world in front of you. It's like, I won't say heaven, but it is something that does not exist.
Yeah.
That is being created in front of you. And it is like magic. That's the most I can say. It's whatever the scene is, doesn't matter. If it's that combination and good material, obviously, it can be magic. And it was, whew.
Yeah. Oh, next week.
I don't even know. So actually, there is no new episode of Outlander next week. Well, we only have one left. It's 116, To Ransom a Man's Soul. Is that correct?
Well, I mean, that's
the title of the episode. It's in 2 weeks, but we don't want to leave anyone out in the cold like BJR, although it wasn't that cold.
He pushed Claire out.
He pushed her out.
We don't leave you out with the dead bodies. Yes.
There you go. We don't leave anybody out with the dead bodies.
We bury our dead.
There you go.
We keep them in the cellar.
Oh, don't give away my secret, Lene.
I don't even have a cellar.
We don't need to give away that secret.
They're all in the garden.
Oh, Lord have mercy. We do have...
Good fertilizer.
Yes.
We will... Oh, my gracious.
Should try my strawberries. They're to die for.
Perfect segue.
Oh, you're so punny.
We will have an episode next week. So that wraps up this episode discussion of 115 Wentworth Prison. Now, the last episode, the finale, does not air next week, but we do. And you don't want to miss next episode. We have a very special interview.
Thank you to our generous audio host, audioboom.com. Our audioboom channel is www.audioboom.com/channel/Outlander Pod. Visit our website at www.outlanderpod.com. Follow us on Twitter at Outlander Pod. Find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Outlander Pod or email us at outlanderpod@gmail.com.